One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is Jim Semivan, and you are listening to That UFO Podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. My name is Andy, and joining me on today's show, a returning guest, he is the president of the New Paradigm Institute, acclaimed civil rights activist and constitutional lawyer, Mr. Daniel Sheehan. Danny, welcome back.
Thank you, Andy. It's great to be here.
Good to have you back on. And Danny, I was just saying to you before we hit record, over the last 46 weeks, maybe 8 weeks, I've seen a lot of new listeners and viewers start to get involved with the podcast. And I think that's down to so much has happened since before Christmas to now. More folks are starting to get the kind of the UFO bug, got a bit of an interest in the topic again. So what I'd love to do is, as many listeners will know who you are, some may not. Can you give a kind of brief introduction as to who Danny Sheehan is and why he's so involved in the UFO conversation?
Sure. I guess the thing that people know most about me right now recently is that I'm the attorney for Lou Elizondo, who was the director of the top secret program inside the United States Pentagon investigating the UFO phenomenon. And I helped Lou work on the complaint that he filed with the Inspector General of the United States Defense Department, complaining about the fact that the Defense Department and our intelligence agencies in the United States were lying to Congress and to the American people and the world about the UFO phenomenon. And I also was the attorney for Dr. John Mack at Harvard University when he wrote a major book about the UFO phenomenon and the abduction phenomenon. I was legal counsel for 20 years for Dr. Stephen Greer's disclosure project. And prior to that, I was the legal counsel, special counsel to President Carter's investigation of the UFO issue with the National Archives, the Congressional Research Service. So, but other than that, I was, you know, there's other cases that I've done over the years that I was one of the legal counsel for the New York Times in the Pentagon Papers case. I was the co-founder of the Harvard Civil Rights Law Review at Harvard Law School way back in 1968, was the fellow who, the attorney that initiated the case that ended up establishing the right of journalists to protect their confidential news sources. So that's sort of my general background. I also was the attorney that initiated the major federal criminal racketeering investigation and civil prosecution against the off-the-shelf enterprise of Oliver North and the drug smuggling operations that were going on in Central America by the Central Intelligence Agency. So this is kind of a long 50-year history that I've had with both these other issues, but a lot of the issues dealing with the crimes of the national security state. So that's I'm that lawyer.
So even just outside of the UFO stuff, you've got an incredibly accomplished and varied CV there. And then within the UFO conversation, you have covered quite a lot of bases. And I think quite often I see online people use Lou Elizondo as Stephen Greer as almost two ends of a spectrum to talk about the UFO conversation. And I think you're involved with so many groups and committees and organizations as well throughout those times. And now if folks go back and listen to previous interviews, they'll hear about some of those as well, including obviously the New Paradigm Institute, which you're the president of. Yeah. It's fair to say that that puts you in a pretty good place. You must have a level of knowledge and opinion garnered through those decades, which that must really help you in kind of making up your mind as to where things are at right now and where you see things going.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it does put me in that kind of an interesting position.
On that though then, so the New Paradigm Institute newsletter, which I'm signed up to, and I would recommend folks click the link on the description and go and sign up to that, it's completely free. Dated the 6th of February, you stated that January 2025 has been one of the most pivotal months in years in the fight for UFO transparency. Take us through why you think that is.
Well, what's happened now is the United States Congress has now finally sort of awakened, and they have come to realize now that they are in possession of information from extremely credible firsthand witnesses from inside the United States intelligence agencies and the United States military, confirming that the United States is in possession of one or more non-human origin spacecraft, extraterrestrial spacecraft, and the bodies of the occupants of these craft, which they've now confirmed are non-human. And they've also got witnesses that have come forth to Congress telling them in a completely convincing manner that there are secret elements inside the United States military and intelligence agencies who are working with private for-profit aerospace corporations to back engineer some of the technology of these UFO craft to make weapons, special weapon system and propulsion systems for weapons for the United States. And this is extraordinarily troubling to a lot of the people inside the military and inside the intelligence agencies. And so they've come forward to talk to Congress, first behind closed doors, to tell the Congress about this and the fact that the American intelligence agencies and military services are lying to Congress, denying that they have any such craft and denying that they're engaged in any such programs. Now the Congress has confronted them, and most recently they have the House Oversight Committee, a very powerful and important committee in the Congress, has established a special task force to actively investigate the issue of the UFOs and whatever this non-human intelligence is that's responsible for them. And they now have a Congressman Comer, who is the chairman of the powerful House Oversight Committee, has agreed that he will provide subpoena power to the members of the task force to dig into this issue, to find out what the documents are that show that this is true and who the witnesses are that can confirm this in more detail. And so that the creation of this this new task force is extraordinarily important. And now that President Donald Trump has been inaugurated, he has declared that he is going to insist upon being briefed in on all of the information that we have about the UFO phenomenon and what extraterrestrial or conceivably extra-dimensional non-human intelligence is responsible for this phenomenon. And he has agreed he's going to share this with the American people in the world. So these are a lot of extraordinary developments that have occurred in just the last couple of months. And so here we find ourselves in February with going back and forth to Washington, D.C. and other places, interviewing confidential sources. And they're now coming forward, even independent of the Congress. And you get people like Jake Barber and Fred Baker and a number of the other people and Ross Coulthart from Australia is interviewing these people. And News Nation, a major channel in a television channel in the United States, has agreed to have Ross Coulthart have a program where he interviews these people regularly, and we're getting direct firsthand eyewitnesses who have actually been involved in the crash retrieval program of UFOs, which has been officially denied by official government officials inside the Defense Department and the intelligence agencies, which the Congress now knows are false. So now we're in this phase of the discovery process, where we're interviewing these firsthand witnesses and presenting them to Congress and putting pressure on Congress to have public hearings about all of this, because the New Paradigm Institute, which we founded out of our public interest organization, has in fact been organizing citizens in all 435 congressional districts around the country to mobilize, write letters to the editor of their local newspapers, go on their local television programs, go to their local television news stations, to go to their high schools and colleges to have briefings of the citizens ourselves. And very importantly, there is now a major movement in the United States, now that the witnesses from inside the government have come forward and asserted publicly and to the Congress that there is a means by which you can communicate with the pilots and occupants of the UFO craft through, surprisingly enough, telepathy, mental telepathy. And so that there are citizens groups now organizing around the country and indeed around the world to actually go out into the fields and sit in circles and reach up kind of telepathically to try to establish direct citizen diplomacy with the occupants of the UFOs. And they're not being called crazy anymore. And that was one of the major tactics of the American intelligence community and the military, who were trying to keep the secret that they had these UFOs, that was to say people were basically mentally ill or crazy if they believed in that UFOs were real. And so now we've crossed that barrier where everybody now knows that they're real and that there's a way for individual citizens to reach out and potentially have direct diplomatic communication with the occupants to take that out of the exclusive hands of the military and the intelligence agency people. And so that's what's happening right now. That's this extraordinary movement that's going on across the world right now. And so people are now tuning in to podcasts such as yours and others, and with Ross Coulthart's television show, et cetera. And people are now starting to listen to people like Luis Elizondo, who's been trying to tell the public about this. And he's now written a book, which has gone to the top of the bestseller list, the New York Times bestseller list, called Imminent, talking about the reality of the UFO phenomenon. And they're beginning to give more and more credit now to people like Dr. Stephen Greer, who's been working for decades to try to share information with the people of the world about this UFO phenomenon. And even though Luis Elizondo and Dr. Greer have differing perspectives on this and are inclined to say so publicly, the reality is that they're both engaged in trying to get substantial more information substantially more information out to the people of the world about this. And Dr. Greer is suspicious of the ultimate motives of the national security state people in the United States, which everyone has a right to be because of their dissembling and lying and actually destroying the lives of innocent people who've been trying to communicate information about this over the past decades. And on the other hand, Luis Elizondo is extraordinarily concerned about the UFO phenomenon potentially being a national security threat, which from his perspective, he believes to be true. And so that we have good faith Americans having different perspectives on this, and good faith people all across the world. Now, parliaments in other countries are coming forward and seeing what the United States Congress is doing, holding public hearings about this, are now starting to discuss having hearings in their countries to reveal what it is that their military and intelligence services know about this phenomenon. So this is an extraordinarily exciting time and a pivotal time in all of human history. If we are on the brink of getting absolute, indisputable confirmation of the reality of the UFO phenomenon and the fact that they are of extraterrestrial origin, and meaning that there's life elsewhere in the universe, intelligent, highly technologically developed, but non-human life in the universe, we're approaching the point that's going to be a dividing point in potentially all of human history. There's the before we knew that we were part of a galactic civilization, and after. So, I mean, it's actually conceivable that all time will be measured instead of from the birth of Christ in Western civilization or in from the founding of certain dynasties in China. It's going to be found, going to be based upon that crossing that barrier into realizing that we're galactic citizens. And that we will be having to have compute our time from this period. And so we have a period now over the next 2-year period between now and the next elections in the United States here, that will be in November of 2026, for this administration, now that they're in control of the House and the Senate and the White House and substantial influence in the American judiciary branch, they have this golden opportunity right now to do what President Trump has promised they're going to do, is extract all of this information from the national security state and make it public. And that's what's happening. So this is going to be probably it could well be, if we can avoid more warfare and even the potential threat of thermonuclear war, if we can get through this next 2-year period and bring to fruition the promises of this administration pertaining to the UFO issue, we may be witnessing in the next 2-year period the most important 2-year period in the entire history of the human family. And here we are, privileged to be here, to be all participating in this extraordinary process, which people will be looking back 1,000 years from now, looking back at this as an absolutely transitional period in human history, and we get to all participate in it. So that's what your show is about, and you've been telling people about this for months and months and months, and now here the time has arrived where this is actually happening right in front of everybody.
You know, Danny, you are the human equivalent of ChatGPT for the UFO topic. when someone asks what UFOs are. I want to dive into so much of that, and I'm glad I've got notes on quite a lot of it already, so which is really good. It's handy. You mentioned the Stephen Greer and Lou Elizondo thing, and I want to bring that up. I don't know if you remember in the 90s or 2000s, I'm sure you were incredibly busy, there was a program on MTV called Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yeah, I remember that.
If that was still going, then I'm sure those two would have been on there in puppet form already, just given the nature of how the UFO community treats both camps. How do you think that juxtaposition and positions for those two affects the UFO topic? Because like you say, they both have some very strong claims that contradict the other. So is it a case of a lot of folks look at that and go, well, one of them's lying, or they're both lying, or it's something in between? How do you kind of view those two very differing, you know, characters?
Well, it's an interesting thing because, you know, I was for 20 years the legal counsel for the Disclosure Project of Stephen Greer. And since 2021, you know, I've been legal counsel for Lou, both of them. And so I'm quite familiar with what the challenge is here that we have. And that is that our people in Western civilization are very much trained to engage in the dialectic of good guys versus bad guys. You know, one rugby team versus another, or one football team or basketball team or baseball team. And people get caught in this. It's a dynamic that entertains people and draws them in. And there's a tendency, therefore, to try to push people into camps to entertain and sort of titillate people. and what's happened here is that I think that that people are attempting to kind of goad different proponents in the UFO field into conflict with each other for entertainment purposes. and so if you look at Dr. Greer and Luis Elizondo, you can see that both of them agree that the UFOs are real, which sets them both apart from a significant majority of people in positions of power and influence for decades who didn't dare say that. Both of them have dared to say that and to go forward and tell people that it's true. Both of them have insisted that the United States military and the intelligence community have been lying to Congress about this. Both of them are extremely concerned that because of that, that secrecy that's been maintained, the right decisions are not being made about how we explore the question of the UFO phenomenon and the extraterrestrial intelligence that is responsible for them. We don't have citizen involvement in it. We don't have expert scientists, the leading people in the various fields that are being given access to the information to try to evaluate it. They also agree that the United States Congress needs to step forward and take a much more active role in this in order to maintain the constitutional structures of our government. Both of them recognize that the continuation of the secrecy poses significant threats to the safety of the people, because the people that are in charge of the program are so deeply secret about it all, and that they've been utilizing the technology of the UFOs to actually try to develop weapon systems that could present an entire new level of conflict and potential devastation to our planet. They agree on all of these things. Okay, and so that on a scale of 1 to 100, there's probably 75% of everything that both Lou Elizondo and Dr. Stephen Greer believe and agree on. Then there's 25% of it is a little different because they come from different perspectives. And Dr. Greer has been convinced for many years that the deep state in the United States, the deep intelligence agencies and secret military programs are dangerous, that they are so dedicated to the dialectic over and against Russia and over and against China, over and against the countries that disagree with our American capitalist system, basically, that they're willing to resort to all kinds of perfidy and criminal conduct, political assassinations, drug smuggling, you know, lying, supporting death squads, you know, et cetera, all of which is true. And in the 20 years that I spent being legal counsel to Dr. Stephen Greer's Disclosure Project, I was very clear and forthright about that being true. And that was part of our alliance. And because of that, what Dr. Greer has done is said that it's very dangerous to leave the control and knowledge of this UFO phenomenon in the extraterrestrial intelligence in the hands of those people who are willing to do those kind of things. And one of the things that Dr. Greer and I both came to know during the 20-year period that I was legal counsel for the Disclosure Project was that our United States military and intelligence community has actually been willing to engage in generating what we call false flag military operations. For example, with Operations Northwoods that people know about, the United States Joint Chiefs of Staff, actually military Joint Chiefs of Staff, an intelligence CIA agency, proposed back in the 1960s, actually dressing up anti-Castro Cubans in Cuban uniforms and having them physically militarily attack Guantanamo, our Navy base at Guantanamo, and actually kill American service people and sink American military craft, and to actually go into Miami and blow up shopping malls and kill people, targeting specifically the anti-Castro Cuban refugee community, so that they would enrage that community that would rise up and authorize our military to militarily attack and invade the island of Cuba. That is all true, okay? And because of that, Dr. Greer has said, look, if the same elements deeply buried inside the national security state of the United States are exclusively in control of the secret information about UFOs and the extraterrestrial civilization, they may actually be willing to plan a false flag attack. If they're using the technology that they've recovered from some of these craft to back engineer craft that look and act virtually identically to the UFO craft, that is not beyond them to actually stage a fake UFO invasion in order to strengthen the hand of the national security state, even to the point of invoking the continuity of government provisions that they have, of being able to have the military and the executive branch take over all of the legislative and judicial functions in the country, all in the eyes of a potential thermonuclear war. Now, this, and so that Dr. Greer has become convinced that unless we get this information exposed and shared with Congress and take steps to get this information communicated to the people of the world, that people inside the national security state of the United States might be tempted to actually carry such a plan into effect. And so he has been putting that front and center in a lot of his communications, because from his perspective, knowing what he does know, he thinks that that's such a danger that he wants to warn people against this and try to deter any kind of temptation that they might have to do such a thing. Now, on the other hand, Luis Elizondo, who is a person who has been raised in the military community and comes from a family in Miami, where, interestingly enough, they're part of the very anti-Castro Cuban community that was targeted by Operation Northwoods to actually blow them up and kill them in the shopping malls. And he comes out of that community, and he's joined the military and has spent his life in the military. And he very clearly, once he got put into possession of information about the reality of the UFO phenomenon and the kind of activities that were being engaged in, he became extraordinarily concerned that this activity on the part of the UFO vehicles constituted a threat to the national security of the United States. And he was put in a position by both, I'll point out, both the Republican and Democratic Party, both. He was charged with responsibility for trying to think through what the potential threats might be that would be posed by a foreign power, even if it's extraterrestrial, for example, shutting off all of the nuclear missiles at a military base, such as in Maelstrom, in Montana, and other places, and surveilling secret military facilities and following our nuclear aircraft carriers around in the ocean. And from his perspective, that very definitely constitutes a threat to the national security of the United States, because he conflates the maintenance of those kind of military and even nuclear capacities as an essential element of our national defense. And so the two of them, even though they agree on 75% of all the factual reality, they have this other 25% coming from their respective perspectives that has caused people to pay a lot more attention to that 25% of the things on which they disagree. And because that disagreement is so focused, the people have, in a sense, solicited that information from them that's in that 25% area. And it's now started to cause people to be fascinated by that kind of conflict, even to the point, I mean, when you have a culture that has games like you were talking about before, where, you know, they have on television cage fighting, you know, when you have a culture that is so stimulated into that kind of combat, that kind of almost lethal combat, in that they take a titillation from that, they're tempted to try to overemphasize, I think, the degree to which Dr. Greer and Luis Elizondo, both of whom have been my personal friends and still are, right, that they emphasize the conflict between them instead of the positive things. So I believe that in light of the fact that one of the things that our human family has to be able to do in order to effectively and productively engage with the extraterrestrial civilization is we have to be able to get over this kind of desire on the part of our species to engage in conflict with each other. And to have that be such a central dynamic in our relationships with each other, we have to demonstrate that we're worthy of actually having a positive and constructive bilateral relationship with another species, with another civilization, before they're going to trust us, before they're going to be willing to allow us to come out into their region. You know, and they especially aren't going to allow us to bring nuclear weapons out into their territory. And so that we've got to confront this issue. And we have this extraordinary advantage here of two of the preeminent voices in the field of attempting to secure disclosure. We have this extraordinarily important opportunity to try to see if we can get people in their two camps to share their legitimate perspectives with each other, to get past this, so that we can assist these two men, friends of mine and clients of mine, to transcend this type of conflict with each other, and to avoid the temptation of being goaded into this, like. You know, in high school, you know, where two guys start having an argument and people start gathering around them going, fight, 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 you know, trying to force them into this. And it doesn't help that, you know, that we have people interviewing them respectively who are cage fighters, right? Yeah. And are proud of being cage fighters, you know, and trying to generate that kind of energy. And so I'm sort of on the other side of that process. I'm trying to get to bring people together, to get them to share their information together, to acknowledge that there are differences in perspective, and try to explore what potential legitimacy there is to the other person's perspective. Nobody can reasonably acknowledge that the flight of completely unknown vehicles over the top of a nuclear missile facility and shutting off all of the missiles can't reasonably be perceived by those in charge of the security of such facilities to be some kind of a threat to them. And on the other hand, nobody who is familiar with the background of the activities of our deep national security state with regard to assassinations and drug smuggling and in the actual proposal of false flag military attacks to blame on some adversary. Anybody who's familiar with that deep history cannot fail to understand that a person could reasonably and in good faith come to suspect that element in our national security state infrastructure is capable of doing something like utilizing the technology that they're recovering from the craft, building fake craft, and actually having a fake false flag attack to generate more power for themselves. The problem is I have to be extremely careful, because if I publicly attribute good faith to either or both of these gentlemen, the other one has been pushed into a point of viewing that as a bad thing to acknowledge there's any good faith perspective that the other could share, you know? And so that what I'm hoping to do with that, I don't talk about this very freely, but when that it's coming to the point now where people are all talking about it, because we've got people who are ardently supportive of both of them and feel that it's necessary for them, therefore, if they're a quote supporter of that person, to oppose the other person. It's that whole red team, blue team, you know? I mean, and so that I think that it's a simple enough observation for people who have watched the Super Bowl and watch, you know, cage fighting and watch, you know, rugby teams and soccer teams, football teams of their own countries, where the fans from the two different teams end up getting in massive fistfights on the field, you know, to say that is a level of consciousness that our human family is capable of, that we have to address, that we have to try to transcend that kind of low consciousness that may have served us at one time, you know, millions of years ago, when it was necessary for tribes to fight over a water hole for survival. But we're hopefully past that point, and that we should avoid that kind of low consciousness activity and not have people of good faith be goaded into these kind of conflicts with each other, which is not that constructive. Even to the point, I mean, that we have now, you know, two main political parties in most countries that fight each other like that. And for anybody to recognize and grant the legitimacy of the point of one of their opposing political parties is ostracized by their political party members, you know, and that this is a great test for our people, a great test for our human family right now, to be able to utilize this opportunity that we have to reach out to the stars and actually become a spacefaring species, to be able to demonstrate that we can overcome this. And so that this is a challenge that's right in front of us. We can see it in personal ways, and that it presents a great opportunity, I think, for us to help transcend this and qualify to be citizens of the galaxy. But we'll see. I know both of these gentlemen, and I hope that we can help overcome this problem right now.
You make a lot of really interesting points there around the Elizondo and Guiar camps, and I just want to ask one more thing. Given your relationship with them professionally and personally, have you ever tried to bring them together to have that conversation in person?
Well, I'm sort of in that process now, because historically I've refused to answer the kind of question that you've been asking me, but I think it is becoming so important now that there's so much activity going on now, and we're engaging we have been successful in achieving an absolutely bipartisan support for disclosure inside the Democratic and Republican parties. You know, we actually, the New Paradigm Institute and the others that have been working in the same field, the Saul Foundation, the UAP Disclosure Fund, MUFON, you know, all of us that have been around for a long time are all extraordinarily happy about the fact that we've been as successful as we all have been together to bring about not only a nonpartisan, but an active bipartisan support for disclosure with the two political parties in the United States. And so that because of this extraordinarily important opportunity, we want to have the benefit given to Congress of both of these gentlemen, of the perspectives that they have, so that we can explore what the reality is with regard to not only the things that they both support, but things that they may differ on. And so so I've agreed to answer the questions because I've been on your show and I highly respect you, and I know that you're asking that question from a completely legitimate perspective. You know, you're not trying to titillate anybody or to stimulate this kind of conflict between the two of them. You're really wanting to explore the opportunity for some kind of cooperation between the different camps within the community. And so therefore I'm willing in this context with you, Andy, to answer that question. And others who ask the question from what I understand and believe to be a good faith perspective, I think that this is the process by means of which we can help resolve some of this conflict between different camps inside our community, and demonstrate that we're worthy, I think, of the respect of Congress as a movement, as a citizens' movement, and support the positive outreach on the part of people to the UFO vehicles themselves, so that they say, this is a human community that's genuinely trying to transcend the type of dialectical antagonistic kind of activity that they are concerned about us bringing into their territory by leaving the planet and leaving our solar system and coming to engage with them, that we need to be able to show them that we can overcome this lower tendency that we have developed historically.
So one of the points you made before was about this, I've called it a few times, this age of the whistleblower we appear to have entered, where we seem to have waited in 2024 for these whistleblowers to come forward after Grush in 2023, and it never quite happened. And then lo and behold, 2025 arrives and bang, we've got one after another, it seems, which has opened up a whole range of conversation. What's been your take on, it seems Jake Bullerbur at the forefront right now, and he has Fred Baker, Don Paul, and I've just had John Blitch on the podcast recently as well, backing up his story. What is your take on that story? And I want to ask the public perception of that as well. And I'll just give you a little bit of context. Mm-hmm. I was on a friend of mine's podcast just the other day, and that's not a UFO podcast. It's more general conversation, societal stuff, quite tongue-in-cheek, but Scottish-based humour, okay? And they asked about the UFO stuff right at the beginning. And it was quite a difficult conversation to still have with them, because quite often in the community and online, I see people comment that the public's ready for this conversation, the public's ready for the woo, the experiencers, psionics, telepathy. I find it the opposite. And speaking to these two guys who are just, same as me, general public, but no interest in UFOs, I sent them the link to the News Nation 41-minute piece with Jake Bullerbur. Yeah. And as I kind of thought would happen, and this isn't for everyone, but generally, they found it reasonably interesting hearing about the crash retrieval stuff. Yeah. As soon as he mentioned his experience, the femininity, the divine, and the psionics, they both basically called BS on it, and they were like, nah, that completely turned them off. And I think that's still the place of most of the public. Is that unfair?
Well, it's interesting. It's going to be an additional challenge if with regard to the first part of it, getting people to say, I'm getting persuaded that there are really craft, that they may well be extraterrestrial. I mean, that's an extraordinary thing to get people to come to grips with. And there's been a lot of discussion about this inside the circles where Luis Elizondo and both Dr. Greer, work all the time, that because they know that there's this dimension to it. There's this extraordinary additional dimension having to do with consciousness and telepathy in the operating of the vehicles with telepathy, et cetera, and that there's been an inclination to try to avoid that until we get people to at least understand that the UFO phenomenon is real and that the consensus among those who are really familiar with it is that they appear to be extraterrestrial in their origins. And even those who think that they're extra-dimensional are open to the possibility that the what appears to be extra-dimensional may be a function of the way that they travel, the way that they come here from their different star systems, that they go into some kind of a high, ultra-high frequency vibrational state where they can move instantaneously, more or less. And when they uncloak or they lower their vibrational frequency, they come into visible form or material manifestation. And then people think that that's an extra-dimensional phenomenon. But the bottom line is that's challenging enough right there to get people to come to grips with that. And so that there's a temptation historically to try to postpone, at least, just like you would in baking a cake. You know, that there are certain ingredients that you put together to begin with, and you have to put them together in the right order in order for the cake to work out right, you know. And if you put them together incorrectly, it won't work. And that's why some people, such as Luis Elizondo and others, believe that there needs to be a reasonably controlled process by means of which this disclosure takes place, so that people can be given the information and that they can absorb and that they can integrate and they can come to believe and then be given more information, etc. Now, Dr. Greer and others in the UFO community so distrust the national security state and the military in the intelligence community that has been lying, not only lying for these past at least 80 years, but have been engaged in actual criminal conduct against private citizens who have been trying to share this information to suppress it. And so that they distrust them so much that they believe that any authority that that community has to control the disclosure is going to be misused and abused. Okay. And so that's why Dr. Greer and others advocate, let's have all the information, let's have it all instantaneously, let's have it all come out at one time. But Andy, I think you're pointing out a very important direct experience where you come to realize that the vast majority of people in our human society can't absorb that kind of stuff all at one time. They can say, okay, I'm good with the first, 50% of it, but when you cross into this other area, all of a sudden they shut down, and they call BS on it, and they don't want to hear it. And so this is a dramatic demonstration of exactly what the issue is that we're having to work on inside the UFO disclosure community of how do we responsibly and ethically engage in phasing out this information to people so that they can actually absorb it. The Sufis have an ability to create stories that have four or five different levels or dimensions to them so that people can hear as much of the story and get as much of the lesson, the moral lesson that is implicit in the story of the Sufis they're trying to get through to people. And that we're trying to figure that out now. How can we, in a sense, create a Sufi presentation that can be heard by everyone at the particular level of consciousness where they are without freaking people out? But there is no way to ultimately avoid the relevance, the central relevance of this issue of consciousness and the effect. In the years I spent with Dr. Mack, I was Dr. Mack's lawyer for 10 years, from 1994 until his passing in 2004. And this is one of the major issues that Dr. Mack came to grips with, is that he had initially started out thinking that the people were mentally ill, who thought that they'd been abducted. Then he started becoming convinced that, well, they were, in fact, experiencing something very real, whatever it was. Then he came to realize that it appeared to be extraterrestrial. And then he came to realize deeper and deeper as he got into this, that it was having this kind of consciousness effect upon the abductees, that they were ascending into a higher and higher state of consciousness, to the point where many of them, most of them, began to experience this as a positive event in their life, which they started out being terrified of it. Okay, and so that John Mack went through this evolutionary process where he realized that this had this spiritual dimension, this consciousness dimension, and he began writing about it more as he got deeper into it. So I believe that this is one of the issues that we have to come to grips with. And what we're trying to do now is we're trying to assemble a source of authority that can be trusted, since we don't trust the national security state that is too attached to this dialectic of trying to, you know, the old saying, the Sufi saying again, is when a pickpocket meets a saint, all he sees are its pockets. And so that people inside the military intelligence community, when they encounter the UFO phenomenon, instead of saying, holy mackerel, look at this, beings from an entire extraterrestrial civilization, what an astonishing opportunity that we have here to learn new things and expand. And so they say, holy shit, this is really dangerous. Now, these people can go faster than our jet fighters. Hmm. You know, boy, we'd love to get our hands on that technology so we can make bigger weapons. You know, and so Lou has been surrounded by those people. And he's been working in that milieu for all this time. And he has been perceived by some of those people as being a guy who is ascended into a higher state of consciousness, really, inside his military community, that he's in a higher state of consciousness. He's actually trying to get something done that they thought was contrary to the secrecy that was necessary to protect the national security state. And so he's being challenged by the people in his community. And Dr. Greer is having the same kind of experience over there, that a number of people in the community, you know, are angry at him. And so we're trying to get past all of that. I'm hoping to try to get past all of that. But I hear exactly what you're saying, and I take a very, very important lesson from what you're saying of how we have to choreograph this information coming out to the people in a sound and responsible way that is completely ethical, but also effective. And that's what we need to do. I'm hoping that we can get the House Oversight Committee and the Senate Intelligence Committee engaged in some sort of a joint committee that is working on figuring out exactly where that balance is of to how rapidly we bring this information forward and the means by which we do. Now, you know that Steven Spielberg, who has produced the major motion picture, you know, E.T. and The Close Encounters of a Third Kind. He also did this television series that's been lost to history called Taken, you know, that he did. And he's also done a television series, a documentary series called Encounters. And he's now getting ready in 2026 to produce display a movie called Disclosure. And so that is going to play, I think, some significant role in helping to conscientize or raise the consciousness of a vast viewing audience to try to understand this. So we're trying to figure out, you know, exactly how he's going to pitch this. How is he going to strike that balance? But you'll know, remember in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the Richard Dreyfuss character and the others were all somehow being affected psychically. That, you know, that they were all being drawn to this mountain. There was some kind of thing happening there. So even Steven Spielberg was aware of this kind of interesting dimension to the whole thing, you know, where Richard Dreyfuss would sit there and build this mountain out of his mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
You know? And so that he's touched on this issue in an adroit way. And I'm hoping he's going to continue to do that in his upcoming movie. But it's a very real challenge that you present here. And I think it's appreciated by the people that are working with Lou Elizondo of how we choreograph all this. And I've had conversations with Hal Putoff and Russell Targ and other people who have been involved in that side of it, that whole issue of consciousness and its extraordinarily central role in this issue. And I'm hoping that we can solve this if we can find a sound and responsible authoritative entity to be working with, whether it's this task force or whether it's the 9-person panel that has been proposed by the Senate in their 2023 Senate bill, the big 64-page bill that they proposed, this 9-person panel. We're trying to establish some entity that can be trusted and has the authority to make decisions about this. Our New Paradigm Institute is mobilizing the people, the actual people in all the congressional districts and in other countries, trying to get the information that we have vetted and that we believe is solid and can really be trusted. And so we're trying to play a role in this at the newparadigminstitute.org so people can contact us. It's totally free. People can become members of the New Paradigm Institute. They can become members of Citizens for Disclosure, which are going to be working in each of their congressional districts, in each of their states, and in each of their countries around the world to get their state legislature or their federal legislatures into action on this. Because those are the proper people that are the elected representatives of the citizenry. And those are the people that need to be involved in this process, not just the national security state people that are inside the executive branch of their government. So that's what we're engaged in right now, of trying to shift the center of authority in dealing with this issue into the legislature. And frankly, the history is that the people in the military and in the intelligence communities hold in comparatively low regard the elected representatives of the people. They view them as, you know, frat boys, you know, people that are just in trying to get attention or always running for office and are at the political whims of their financing entities, you know. And so that is not a healthy attitude. And it's not a healthy attitude in a democracy to have your national security state people perceiving the elected representatives as people that you need to keep in the dark, that you need to lie to and deceive because you can't trust them. You know, we need to overcome that, and we need to have the elected representatives conduct themselves in a responsible manner so that the national security people who have legitimate concerns in their perspective of national security issues, that they respect those legislature entities. And we need to get the UFO community, that partly is represented by Dr. Stephen Greer and his longtime devotion to this issue, to begin to have confidence in congressionally elected representatives to do this, even if they don't trust entirely the national security state people because of their bad history. Okay, so I find this to be an extraordinarily challenging and interesting period, if you hadn't gathered that so far. Now, this is extraordinary, what's going on. I've been in this, you know, for 47 years, you know, ever since I was first contacted by the Congressional Research Service and asked to become special counsel to the investigation on behalf of President Carter. So I've been witness to this over 47 years, and I'm delighted that we're at a stage where we're actually being able to make substantial progress here. And I'm deeply appreciative of yourself and your show. I mean, your show is respected by people all around the world. And so I really appreciate the opportunity to get to discuss these things with you and with your listeners.
No, thanks. It's respected by some. I'm sure there's some people who hate it, but we'll go with the ones who like it. You mentioned those representatives, and I'm actually glad we ended up delaying this by a week, because in the week, Representative Anna Paulina Luna announced there was something coming, big announcement. There was a whole load of rumour going around as to what it was going to be. I had the impression, just looking at other people's opinion who I would respect, who thought it would be something around transparency, but not necessarily directly UFO related, but it could impact the UFO topic. And I think that's pretty much correct. So you've got Representative Luna and Representative Comer. They announced the establishment of the Task Force on the Declassification of Federal Secrets. And for the layman out there, essentially they are going after 9/11, UFOs, JFK, Martin Luther King, COVID, the Epstein list. If you were writing a big book of conspiracy files to be released in 2025, in 6 months, they are going to try and uncover the biggest, you know, quote unquote conspiracies of all time. I
mean, we've got to get that expanded. That's not realistic.
How do you do that?
No. That's one of the very first things that our New Paradigm Institute is directing our attention to, is to mobilize the citizenry to say, look, this is not responsible. I mean, to have this many deep conspiracies investigated and exposed within a 6 month period is not realistic. And the one thing you don't do in Washington, D.C. is you don't set a time limit on a project like that, because the opponents, once they know what the time limit is, they know how to drag their feet and delay things and hold you off and make you go to court, and they aren't going to be able to succeed. So we want to get this expanded to at least 2 years, because this administration has a two-year period before the elections in November of 2026, where they're going to be in a certain sense, almost unchallenged authority. And if they're serious about revealing the secrets deeply buried with regard to the UFO issue, they need to concentrate on this for this two-year period and to get this information out. You'll notice that the Senate, when we passed the bill back in 2023, the 64-page bill, implicit in that was a seven-year period. There was a seven-year period that was designated in that act within which they had to complete this process. That's a much more realistic view, but that's being opposed by people in the UFO community is way too long a period. But I think a two-year period for the task force that is in the House side is a more realistic time frame. Now, as you probably do know, I mean, that I've been involved in that. I was in Attorney F. Lee Bailey's office. I was one of the three trial lawyers in F. Lee Bailey's office during the Watergate burglary. And we represented James McCord, the CIA wiretapping specialist, who blew the whistle on Richard Nixon and the whole White House plumbers unit. And we came to realize in that investigation that at the root of the Watergate burglary was in fact the JFK assassination. I was on the Danny Jones show a while ago, and he actually started asking me about that. And we spent like a whole hour or more going into detail about what the unique information is that I happen to have come into contact with pertaining to the JFK assassination. And so that we can be of some assistance to the task force in that as well. That can be dealt with fairly quickly, because we have deep, detailed information about exactly what it is that happened in there, because we interviewed Santos Trafficante. He was one of our clients at the firm, which I didn't know when I joined it. But the bottom line is he was directly involved in creating the assassination team that ended up killing the president. And so we have that detailed information. So those two issues, I think with those two issues focused upon, if you had to identify the two most controversial yet credible conspiracy theories in the world, they are those two things, the UFO issue and the Kennedy assassination. Those are the two key things. So I think that they need to concentrate for the first 6 months on both of those things while we try to get the time period expanded to at least a two full year period to look at the other things. I'm not very interested in all the Jeffrey Epstein things. And, you know, they're also going to add into it now the killing of Osama bin Laden. You know, there's a whole other thing. We happen to know that because of being in Washington and talking with their staff and stuff, that we know that they're planning to try to add that onto the list of whether he was really killed or not. You know, like it doesn't make any sense to any of us that, you know, that they would have gotten to Osama bin Laden after all that time and all the stuff he knew and all the information he had, that they're just going to kill him. And then, oh, by the way, we, you know, threw his body out of a helicopter into the ocean because we didn't want anybody to know. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to anybody, you know. And the same thing is true of 9/11. You know, that nobody with a IQ above room temperature believes that Building 7 just sort of fell down like that. So that these are things that are important in people's consciousness. But in my opinion, the UFO issue is so transcendent in its importance, and it's so profound in its full implications that we need to concentrate on that right at the beginning of this. And that has been actually the impetus for the creation of this particular task force. So that's going to be part of our objective of the New Paradigm Institute, is to get the UFO question front and center in that task force as soon as possible, and to expand its time period to 2 years.
Very slight sidebar. I always try and keep away from talking about UFOs, conspiracy stuff, especially in my day job. A lot of folks don't know I have this podcast where I work. And just the other day, there happened to be two of us in the office, and I shared this on the Discord chat, and I got talking to this other guy who I don't know too well, but we've worked together for years. And he found out about the podcast, and within 20 minutes of going from nuts and bolts UFOs, it's really funny you mention it, I was talking about World Trade Center building number 7 collapsing, and he genuinely was like, I've got no idea that even happened, that another building collapsed that day. And I was like, oh god, yeah. I showed him the video, and there's a whole thing about the BBC reporting it 20 minutes before it happened, and then it happened, and very strange, but whole other podcast, whole other show. I want to ask you then, generally, we've got this new administration come in. So we've gone from Biden to Trump, part two. How big an impact do you think this administration can have with Trump at the helm, who admittedly, a lot of folks seem very confident that he could be the president to bring about real change in terms of disclosure? He himself has said on multiple occasions he isn't a believer. That's is right. That not a roadblock still to all of this? That is all for part one. Part two will be out in the next couple of days. You can listen to this episode already in full, ad-free, and with no sponsors for less than the price of a coffee. If you head on over to Patreon or Apple, you can subscribe to the podcast for less than the price of a coffee, or take up the 2 weeks free trial that are available on those platforms. You can head on over to Spotify and search That UFO Podcast Premium and get access to this episode in full, no adverts, no sponsorships, and also with some extra bonus content as well. Thanks for listening, folks.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothes. Clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.